Chapter 24. Taylor signed them out a pool vehicle, one of the bureau's Tahoes. Big, black, tinted windows. It practically screamed government, but that wasn't what concerned Lucy. It was how the hell she was going to climb into the passenger seat without putting all of her weight on her bad leg. As usual, Taylor's mind had already processed the problem and came up with a solution. He opened her door for her and pushed the seat back as far as it would go. Then he held her elbow as she stepped with her good leg onto the running board and swung her bad one into the passenger compartment. Once she was settled in, he handed her her cane and bag. God, she felt old. He was only 4 years younger than she was. But here she sat, a decrepit wreck, not even able to climb into a damn car by herself. It didn't help when he practically leapt into the driver's seat, obviously eager to get to their crime scene. She wondered if she'd ever been as young as he was. "I hardly ever get to drive one of these," he said, adjusting the mirrors. He jerked the wheel and sped them out of the garage, barely waiting for the gate to lift. Lucy grabbed onto her door handle, bracing herself as he took the corner onto Carson too fast and the SUV lurched. "Take it easy," she told him. "The guy's not getting any deader." "Sorry, boss." He slowed marginally, but his herky-jerky steering, if anything, got worse. "I just want to nail this guy. Daddy, I mean. I've never felt so." He slammed the brakes at a light that had been red since the last block. "Angry isn't the right word. I don't know what is, but this guy, the things he does, the way he just doesn't give a shit about anyone else. I mean, I know we've chased some bad guys, but he just makes me." "It's okay, Taylor. It's normal to react strongly when faced with someone so aberrant. This guy, he simply doesn't fit into any concept of what the world should be." Lucy almost rolled her eyes. She was channeling Nick, repeating almost word for word what he was always telling her when she got upset about a case. "Aberrant? Yeah, he's all that and more." His voice dropped. "Lucy, do you believe in evil?" No need to hesitate. The answer was easy. "Yes. Yes, I do. Absolutely. And this guy, he's evil." "Yes." Then he dropped the sentence as if it was a hot coal. "I mean, when we catch him, do you ever wish, fantasize about just ending it? Not worrying about a trial or him getting off on a technicality, just taking care of it, then and there? If he's evil, isn't it our job to protect the rest of the world from men like him?" The rain and wind seemed distant from the darker elements swirling inside the SUV. "Do I ever wish things were that simple?" Lucy answered, struggling to put the paradoxes that tugged at her psyche every working day into some coherent form. "Yes, but our job isn't to destroy evil or take the law into our own hands. It's to uphold the law while protecting the innocent." "But," he protested, "the law doesn't always work. Is it worth the risk that it might fail? For guys like this, I mean, I'm honestly not even sure he's human. Maybe his DNA is, but his brain sure as hell isn't." "That's fair talking, because it would be so much easier to draw a line, decide that he's something other, on the outside of humanity that deserves to be treated equally under the law." "So there's no exceptions?" "Yes. Yes, there were." Lucy was absolutely certain of it. But she was Taylor's supervisor, his mentor, and she couldn't lead him down that path. Every man or woman who carried a badge and gun had to decide for themselves. Taylor had never killed anyone, had never even fired his weapon in the line of duty. Lucy had. She had killed. Not just with her gun, with her bare hands, face to face, blood slicking blood. She'd done right. She'd saved innocence, saved her family, saved her own life. That didn't stop the doubts or nightmares. Wouldn't make it any easier the next time she drew her weapon. For her, the world wasn't black and white, good and evil, clearly demarcated universe that Taylor clearly wished it was. She'd known other cops who could live that way and sleep well at night. She wasn't one of them. Lucy's world was shades of gray. Her conscience was clear as far as the lives she'd taken. That wasn't what kept her awake at night. It was the fact that she, too, was only human. What if she made a mistake? Let her emotions drive her to taking an innocent life? "Here's what I know," she finally answered Taylor. "You have to decide what you can live with. You have to be able to look at yourself in the mirror come morning. And one thing that letting justice takes its course gives you is time. Time to be 120% certain. Time to make sure you can live with the consequences of your actions." His lips twisted, obviously not thrilled with her reply. Neither was she. It felt much too trite when speaking of taking someone else's life. But what else could she tell him? She touched his arm. "I trust you to do the right thing, Taylor. Remember that if the time comes for you to make a decision." "Thanks, Lucy." Then his mood lightened. "Maybe it's a good thing the SAC is taking me out of the field. Sitting at a computer all day, you don't have to think about this kind of thing. I don't know how you stand it." She didn't have the heart to tell him, but neither did she. He watched from the van hidden in the alley across from the abandoned plant's parking garage. Any of the three outcomes were acceptable. The yellow car, GPS systems were so very helpful. The Fed with the cane, she'd driven the yellow car to its destination, and he had ways to access that knowledge if need be. Or her phone. Outcomes 1 and 3 were preferable. Machines were much more useful and quicker to divulge their secrets than people. The laptop beside him chimed, a new message from his operative in the field. "Leaving ER, following, tracker in place." Option 4, the other two feds gave him what he needed. Of course, the jackpot would be if the tidbits he'd left here with the body led the police to call Bernhardt to the scene. Because it was Bernhardt he needed silenced. There was no way Bernhardt could lead them back to him, to his home, his real life, especially as the man had no idea what he knew. But if Bernhardt told the FBI everything, every last detail of what he'd done and who he'd done it to and why, well, that might lead to complications. He couldn't afford complications. Not now, when everything was coming full circle. A black SUV drove into sight, slowing before it turned into the parking garage. With the dark and rain and tinted windows, it was impossible to see inside. But then, both people in the front rolled down their windows to show their credentials to the officer guarding the entrance. And there she was, riding in the passenger seat. Made sense. He'd done his homework. Not only had she been injured and needed a cane, she was a supervisor, rated being chauffeured around to crime scenes. Okay. 2 outcomes left. Outcome 1, her phone gave him what he wanted and he left her dead. A service to his community. Outcome 2, her phone was useless and he left her dead after she told him what he needed to know. He preferred the first. He was vulnerable, exposed here in this city. He needed to end this. Now. Tonight. Then get rid of the evidence, so he could return home and prepare for his reunion with baby girl. A rustling came from the back of the van. He said nothing, merely raised his hand sharply. It stopped. Silence fell.